All right, welcome everyone to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're talking with Principal Program Manager Scott Stubberfield. And so our topic is today is Stubberfield Unplugged. Ooh-hoo. So we're just going to be going through some questions with Scott and getting his insight on his experience with the field. So I guess from my perspective, given that you work with a lot of these Office 365 deployments and companies, you know, what are some of the business blockers when shifting to Teams, and sort of how do you overcome those blockers in these types of discussions?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it, I would necessarily say that they're business blockers to shifting to Teams. I think most of the companies that I've seen that are sort of hesitant to go to Teams don't necessarily understand the overall value of what Teams can provide and the way that it allows people to work differently than they worked before. So if you've got a company who says, I just recently deployed Skype for Business, whether it's Skype for Business on premises or Skype for Business online, and we've got what we've got and we don't want to change things, we don't want to have people work differently, then they're not quite ready for making that shift to Teams. Or maybe you've got a company who hasn't really envisioned their own digital transformation, if they're not at that stage to kind of see how they're going to have people change the way that they work, that's typically where we see where Teams isn't, you know, they're kind of not quite ready to get there. And so what we'll typically do is we'll go back and we'll have either envisioning sessions with them to help them understand the full capabilities of Teams, not just the, okay, there were some features that you were using before and those features are available, but really getting them to understand the entire capabilities of the platform, but also getting them to rethink what their digital transformation strategy is and how Teams can play a part of that.
And so with that digital transformation strategy, how have you seen the role of IT shift within an organization, you know, during an upgrade from Skype to Teams or even just Greenfield adopting Teams and truly that Teams platform?
Yeah, so I think, you know, very similar to how we had a shift, I don't know, 10, I'm probably dating myself, but 10 years ago when we started to walk into organizations and we talked about Office communication server and the fact that it could do telephony communications, and IT traditionally never entered into that space. That was a telecom team and they were on their own separate, you know, world and whatever. I think with Teams, we're again extending IT's reach or IT's capabilities into areas where they're not necessarily comfortable with today. So things like business processes, how people work, personas of how people do jobs, what, you know, what they do, how they interact with, and the tools that they use and kind of how they really, how they work today. You know, IT basically can come along and say, okay, here's a tool, here's the functionality, I've deployed it to you, you're good to go. And they don't necessarily worry about things like how does the user consume it? How does it change how they work, how they do their daily job? And that's really the shift that I've seen is that we're having to lead a lot of those conversations with IT. And organizations that are successful is when their IT organization understands what end user adoption and change management already is. And whether they have a separate team outside of IT that does that, or they have a group within IT that does that, those are the companies that I've seen have had the most success with it.
Yeah, and along those lines, it's really interesting seeing the evolution of these types of applications like Microsoft Teams. And Teams is probably one of the largest Microsoft end user applications that typically will not be IT driven. There may be other reasons which bring it into the organization. From your work in the field, what business scenarios have you seen where Teams is just a great fit? Like it makes a lot of sense. The business justification is very easy.
So I think, you know, where you don't have any existing tool set, right? Obviously that's a huge one. And I mean, you know, beyond the scope of telephony and unified communications. So if people don't have a way to collaborate today or collaborate easily, that's a huge win for organizations. So one of the large companies that I've worked with over the last year, they were transitioning from file servers, traditional file servers, network shares, N drive, T drive, U drive, whatever you, you know, whatever the flavor is that the organization had. and where, you know, they were emailing files back and forth. So I was the controller of a file and I wanted people to update it. So I would take it, I would attach it to email it to six people. They would send updates to me. I would consolidate all those updates, put it on my master, copy on my file share. And then that would end us. That's just a terrible way of, you know, it's a horrible way of working. And so when we come along with Teams and the native collaboration features of here's a PowerPoint, I've posted it, good to go. I think that that's where we see immediate, you know, benefits, right? Where there is not that, you know, where people aren't already collaborating in a certain way. If you go into an organization and people are already collaborating in a modern way, whether they're using SharePoint team sites or they're using some other tool, I wouldn't say it's impossible, but it's more interesting to understand how we layer teams into that type of workflow. So,
yeah. And what's really powerful, just to add to that too, I think with Teams is, I've seen some organizations who have a certain tool set, a certain process for collaborating. Maybe a Teams POC is done, and it only takes a handful of users to see the power of how effective collaboration is in the Teams ecosystem. And then it's almost like a wildfire that catches on. And that alone can almost drive adoption in some business scenarios.
For sure. You know, one other that I can think of, so one of customers of mine that I've been working with for the past year, they had someone from, not from IT, not from the group of people that we were working with, but from the champions community that we had established. And she sent a note to the project team that I'd been working with and said, for the first time in my entire career at this company, and she'd been there 10 years, she said using Teams made her feel like part of the group of people that she worked with. She was a remote employee, so she normally kind of felt separated, didn't feel like she was a part of the team, didn't feel like she was able to collaborate and keep up to the speed with people who were all working in the same office or the same floor. And she said that Teams really enabled her to do that. And she was sad to be leaving the company. She was excited to the opportunity she was going to, but she was sad to be leaving that company because for the first time she had kind of felt included as part of her team, and Teams had enabled that. And she was really hoping that where she was going, she was going to be able to have that with Teams. So I think that's another, you know, bringing disparate groups of people together, I think, is huge.
Right.
So Scott, as Teams is gaining momentum out there in the industry and workplace, you know, and is becoming that front end or interface to the other Office 365 workloads.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen a decrease in the usage of those platforms directly? Like things like Planner, SharePoint, or Yammer? Like, are you seeing, like, is there, I don't know if Microsoft's looking at the metrics, but are people now naturally wanting to consume those workloads directly in Teams versus the actual application?
So I think, the three that you referenced are all kind of completely different in terms of how they interact with Teams. So I'll kind of break it down. So SharePoint, for sure. I mean, we see massive increase in SharePoint online usage when companies start to use Teams. It just happens, right? Because every team that you have now is SharePoint backed. You upload a file, you drop a file into a channel communication that ends up on SharePoint. Your users don't even realize that they were doing it. Whereas before, they had to know the SharePoint site and they had to know how to use it, and it was maybe difficult for them. So absolutely, we see SharePoint usage go up. Does it net itself out? Because if I had SharePoint before, I could have done the same thing. Now I'm just doing it in a different spot in SharePoint. Yeah, probably. But again, I think, you know, natively, we do see SharePoint usage grow up. Planner, for sure. We've seen Planner usage spike. Planner is actually one of the top applications within Teams. So if we look at what we consider to be second-party applications, so a second-party application is an application developed by Microsoft, but not by Teams engineering, and is leveraged within Teams. Planner is probably the top second-party application that we have leveraged into Teams. So Teams drives Planner usage for sure. Yammer is an interesting one in that Yammer traditionally has been used by companies for a lot of different things, some of which is perfectly suited and scoped for Yammer, some of which was things that Teams does now or maybe does a little bit better. And so I think there's definitely a great story to combine Yammer together with Teams. And when I talk to people about how I view Yammer and Teams working together, is I see Yammer as, I have a question, I have a thing that I need an answer for. I know I need to go somewhere, but I don't necessarily know who's going to help answer that question for me. And I need to get to a broader audience of experts, a broader audience of people to provide input into that thing or that answer. Whereas Teams is, I know the scope of people that I'm working with to get this answer. And I know the project that we're working on and I know what we're trying to accomplish. And so Teams is that community of where I get work done, and Yammer allows me to interact with a broader set of people to get answers. And so I think, I don't necessarily know if Teams drives Yammer usage, but I think there's definitely a great story between Yammer and Teams. I know with internally at Microsoft and specifically in Teams engineering, we actually have a Yammer connector configured so that when people are talking about Teams and asking questions on Teams and in Yammer groups in our Yammer communities, those can come into Teams. We can converse with them, you know, at an engineering level, get an answer, and then someone can go back to the Yammer thread and provide an update. And so I think it is a great way to actually blend those particular two tools together in an environment.
So just maybe to add to that, and I'm not sure if you can answer these, but with the evolution of some other, like I guess the Microsoft products that are now coming into Teams, like Kaizala and StaffHub and stuff like that, do you see some additional applications or products sort of potentially making the shift into the Teams environment? And sorry to put you on the spot, you can definitely say no.
Yeah, I mean, I think the vision, obviously the vision for Teams is being the hub for teamwork in Office 365, right? So these other components that exist in Office 365, being able to surface them in a meaningful and useful way within Teams, I don't think that it necessarily means that we're going to bring every possible Office 365 feature that exists out there into Teams in the same way. But I think we'll obviously be trying to bring them in terms of what makes sense. Kaizala, there's not a whole lot to share now other than, you know, what we've announced publicly in that, you know, 12 to 18 month timeframe features from Kaizala are going to be coming into Teams. That's pretty much kind of where we're at right now with that one. And then, sorry, what was the other one you asked me about?
StaffHub.
Yeah. So, I mean, StaffHub definitely is coming into Teams. StaffHub is going away. That process is already well underway. So probably, I think it's by the end of September this year, we're going to be retiring StaffHub completely. And so we've brought all of those features into Teams as part of the Shifts experience. But then again, also layering them into Teams and the core Teams experiences to really completely round out the full first line worker experience within Teams. So again, I know it sounds kind of cheesy to answer. It depends. But again, I do think that it depends in terms of where we see certain features being brought in and certain features being leveraged natively versus being, you know, brought in as a tab or being brought in as a connector, or however it works.
No, that's awesome. Appreciate it. Well, thanks for coming on, Scott, and sharing your insights around definitely the business and the technology and how you address certain things when you visit the customer site. So appreciate that. And thanks everybody for listening in, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.